We've covered most of the main points about the Secret Service as the organization relates to the JFK assassination. But we've got one story left to cover. You can't talk about the Secret Service without talking about Abraham Bolden. In this episode, we review Bolden's claim that on November 2nd, 1963, in addition to a potential threat by lone gunman Thomas Arthur Valley, there was also a failed plot against President Kennedy in Chicago by four men who had rifles. Bolden says that the Secret Service covered up the Chicago plot, and then, when he tried to come forward to the Warren Commission about it, he was framed for a crime which resulted in Bolden doing time in prison. So what is the evidence in support of Bolden's claims, and what are the implications if he's telling the truth?
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
The flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
I don't know what this is all about.
Dallas police this morning resumed questioning the man they have formally charged with the assassination of President Kennedy.
I'm just a patsy.
The man is Lee Oswald.
Was Oswald acting alone, or was he a member of a conspiracy? Commission answers, he acted alone.
This is Solving JFK. I'm your host, Matt Crumpton. In April of 1961, Illinois State Highway Patrolman Abraham Bolden was working the security detail for President Kennedy. Bolden had an opportunity to meet the president, and when he did, Kennedy personally hired him to be the first black agent on the White House security detail. JFK even introduced Bolden to every member of his cabinet and said, quote, "This is Mr. Bolden. I brought him here to make history and to open a door for his people." While the president was fond of Agent Bolden, his fellow White House detail agents were not. Once Bolden was on the job, racist Secret Service agents bullied him viciously. So it's no surprise that just 30 days after joining the White House detail, Agent Bolden returned to Chicago to continue his work with the Secret Service. Aside from being remembered as the Jackie Robinson of the Secret Service, a nickname given to him by the president, Bolden is best known as the Chicago agent who tried to expose a potential assassination plot against President Kennedy in Chicago just a few weeks before the president was murdered in Dallas. But there are others who don't believe Bolden's story and view him as an attention-seeking criminal who was highly influenced by conspiracy theorists. We know that on November 2nd, 1963, President Kennedy planned to attend the Army Air Force football game at Soldier Field in Chicago. As a local Secret Service agent, Abraham Bolden was part of that security detail. At the last possible moment before Air Force One was scheduled to take off from Washington, President Kennedy's trip to Chicago was canceled. The true reason for the president calling off this trip is a bit of a mystery. This is because the president told his press secretary, Pierre Salinger, that he had a cold. But it's also true that the Diem brothers had both just been assassinated in Vietnam, sparking a geopolitical incident. As you'll hear, there was potentially also a threat against President Kennedy's life in Chicago. Agent Bolden says that before the president was scheduled to arrive, Secret Service Chief James Rowley called Chicago Special Agent in Charge Maurice Martineau to let him know about a specific threat that the FBI had shared involving a four-man team of gunmen who planned to kill President Kennedy with high-powered rifles. Martineau relayed that threat to Chicago Secret Service agents on Wednesday, October 30th, 1963. Bolden claims that the FBI found out about the shooting from an informant named Lee. The FBI did not provide any additional information about this Lee informant. Of course, it's easy to speculate that it was Lee Harvey Oswald, but we don't know for sure. According to Agent Bolden, on Thursday, October 31st, the day after he learned of the potential four-man threat, a landlady at a boarding house on the north side of Chicago called the FBI to tell them that four men were renting rooms from her and that she was alarmed because she had seen four rifles with telescopic sights in one of the rooms. She also saw a newspaper sketch of the president's motorcade route. Special Agent in Charge Martineau then ordered 24-hour surveillance on this boarding house. Stocks had been given photos of the four men, and when he saw two of them leaving the boarding house in a car, he followed those men into a dead-end alleyway. This made the two men realize that they were being followed, which caused them to flee. Eventually, those two men were taken into custody and questioned by Secret Service agents, but they refused to answer any questions. The other two men from the boarding house got away. Bolden says that Special Agent in Charge Martineau ordered all of the Chicago Secret Service agents to use special procedures when it came to the investigation of this potential assassination attempt. They were told to not prepare any documents and instead to provide only oral reports and written notes directly to Martineau's secretary. Martineau used a special central office secret file number for the Chicago assassination attempt at the direction of Secret Service Chief Rowley, according to Bolden, who says that he never saw the final report. Agent Bolden was in Washington from November 8th through the 11th of 1963. He had been ordered there to be offered an undercover role with the IRS for a special investigation into the tax crimes of congressmen. This IRS undercover role would require Bolden to change his identity to the point of the IRS destroying his birth records. Bolden turned down that undercover role with the IRS, but while he was in Washington, he made time to speak in person to Secret Service Chief James Rowley. During this meeting, Bolden told Rowley about his concerns regarding the poor security that was currently being offered to the president. Bolden did not mention anything about the November 2nd Chicago incident because the president was still alive, and Bolden did not realize the significance of what had happened in Chicago. Chief Rowley corroborated the fact that Bolden had spoken to him about security concerns in Washington when he testified before the Warren Commission. On the day of the assassination, Bolden began to ask questions within the Chicago Secret Service about whether the plot that was stopped on November 2nd had anything to do with what happened in Dallas. Bolden said that in response to his questions, Special Agent in Charge Martineau told all of the Chicago agents, quote, "Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone gunman. There was no connection with Chicago. Forget November 2nd in Chicago." In May of 1964, when the Warren Commission was in session, Agent Bolden was once again required to travel to Washington, this time for Secret Service school. While Bolden was there, he used a White House phone to call J. Lee Rankin, the chief counsel of the Warren Commission. Bolden said that he wanted to tell Rankin about the plot against President Kennedy in Chicago on November 2nd. The very next day after Bolden called Rankin, Abraham Bolden was charged with attempting to sell a government report to a counterfeiter. Bolden pled not guilty and consistently maintained his innocence. On July 12, 1964, Abraham Bolden's criminal jury trial concluded with a deadlock, which resulted in a mistrial. But when the prosecutor brought the same case again a month later, Bolden was found guilty based on the testimony of counterfeiter Joseph Spagnoli. But Spagnoli would later confess during his own criminal trial that he had lied about Abraham Bolden because he was told to by the prosecutor, Richard Sykes. Despite Spagnoli's confession, Bolden went on to serve 3 years and 9 months in federal prison. In April of 2022, President Joe Biden pardoned Abraham Bolden, probably because of the confession by Spagnoli that he had lied about Bolden at trial. In addition to Abraham Bolden, another name that is forever tied to the alleged November 2nd Chicago plot is ex-Marine and apparent firearms enthusiast Thomas Arthur Valley. Valley appeared on the Secret Service's radar on October 30th, 1963, after the Chicago police learned that Valley, quote, had made extreme comments regarding the Kennedy administration. The police also suspected that Valley owned guns and later learned that he called off of his job on the day President Kennedy was scheduled to be in Chicago. Thomas Valley was arrested at 9:10 in the morning on November 2nd, the day that President Kennedy had been slated to come to Chicago. The stated reason for Valley's arrest was a traffic stop. James Douglas, the author of JFK and the Unspeakable, argues that the time of Valley's arrest as compared to the time of the announcement that President Kennedy's trip was canceled is important. At 9:15 a.m. local time, Pierre Salinger announced that the Chicago trip was canceled. Douglas argues that it is possible, though not proven, that the Chicago police made the decision to arrest Valley, who they had been following for hours overnight, only after they found out that the president was not coming to Chicago. The implication Douglas is making is that the two officers who were shadowing Valley were assisting a larger plot to make Valley the patsy in Chicago, with the four gunmen noted by Abraham Bolden as the actual killers. The two police officers who had been shadowing Valley were intelligence officers Dan Groth and Peter Sherla. Official story critic James D. Eugenio notes that Groth, one of the officers who was in on the arrest of Valley, was later part of the SWAT team that assassinated Black Panthers Fred Hampton and Mark Clark in 1969. Groth never had a regular police assignment, but he would travel to Washington for large blocks of time to train with the FBI and the CIA. Groth always worked in counterintelligence with an early focus on the Fair Play for Cuba Committee. After Valley was arrested, police found a M1 rifle and 2,500 rounds of rifle ammo at Valley's home. Valley was charged with carrying a concealed knife, and then he was let go. The most notable claim from Thomas Valley came from what Valley told author Edwin Black in 1975, that he had been assigned to train Cuban exiles to kill Fidel Castro by the CIA. Valley said that this training happened in and around Levittown, Long Island. Notably, Thomas Valley was discharged from the military in 1956 because he had been diagnosed with schizophrenia.
There are many ways to relax after a long or stressful day, and one of my favorite ways is legal cannabis. Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients so that you can target nearly every mood or health concern that you can think of. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And you can get 20% off on your first order at Mood.com with promo code JFK. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for. So head on over to Mood.com to find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use promo code JFK when you check out to save 20% off of your first order.
We covered the basics of the November 2nd Chicago plot as relayed by Abraham Bolden. But doubters of Bolden's story make several arguments as to why he should not be believed. First, Bolden has made inconsistent statements over the years, especially about the precise flow of information into the Chicago Secret Service office about the November 2nd plot. In 1968, he told researcher Bud Fensterwald that Secret Service Chief James Rowley called Special Agent in Charge Martineau on the phone. But when Bolden spoke to Edwin Black in 1975, he said that a call came in from the FBI in Washington to Agent Jay Stocks. In 1978, Bolden told the HSCA that a telex came in from the FBI, which was followed by a call from the FBI. Then, in Bolden's 2008 book, he says that the Chicago FBI called Agent Martineau. These statements are largely overlapping, but the differences in the details are not confidence-inspiring. Bolden told Bud Fensterwald that he remembered the names of the two arrested men as Bradley and Gonzalez. Both of those names are consistent with names that were also being investigated by Jem Garrison. So the argument is that Bolden is just telling JFK researchers what they want to hear. Third, when Bolden gave a press conference after he had been arrested, he told the press that he had been framed and he talked about wanting to speak to the Warren Commission. But there's no mention in the press about any Chicago plot from the prior November. Instead, the newspaper article only talks about how Bolden noticed excessive drinking by Secret Service agents on the White House detail. Just because it wasn't printed in the newspaper doesn't mean that Bolden didn't mention it. Still, we would think that if Bolden brought up a Chicago plot against the president, then Chicago news reporters would have covered it. The fourth point raised by Bolden critics is that there is a Warren Commission document that talks about how attorney Howard Willens was attempting to interview Bolden through the FBI after Bolden's arrest. Bolden's lawyer turned down the FBI's request to interview him out of concerns that the testimony could have a negative impact on the charges that were pending against Bolden at the time. The document says, quote, "Mr. Howard, Bolden's attorney, advised that his client, Mr. Bolden, had no specific information whatsoever concerning the actual assassination of President Kennedy, Mr. Bolden expressed agreement with his attorney's statement on this point. Bolden doubters point to this statement as evidence that Abraham Bolden knew nothing about a Chicago plot. As an attorney, I read this as Bolden's lawyer just not wanting him to talk. And after he said that Bolden wasn't going to talk, the Warren Commission then added in a statement in this report that Bolden endorsed the idea that he knew nothing about a Chicago plot. So much for Bolden not talking to the authorities, when the document still indicates that Bolden, quote, expressed agreement. And finally, Bolden skeptics point out that the sole evidence for the Chicago plot comes from Abraham Bolden. Special Agent in Charge Martineau denied that it happened, and so did Bolden's immediate superior, Agent Jay Stocks. Charlotte Klapowski, Agent Martineau's secretary, told the HSCA that she had no recall about anything related to the November 2nd plot or even Thomas Valley. To be fair, if Bolden is telling the truth, we would expect all of these people to deny it. The closest support that I could find for independent corroboration of Bolden's story is from people who don't really remember the details. FBI agent Thomas Cole told author Edwin Black that he remembered some people being picked up related to, quote, the Soldier Field affair, but he said he couldn't talk more about it. Secret Service agent Robert Motto told the HSCA that he vaguely recalled threats related to the president's planned November 2nd visit, but he couldn't remember the details. The House Select Committee on Assassinations looked into Abraham Bolden's claims. Here's what they concluded. Quote, Bolden alleged that shortly before November 2nd, the FBI sent a teletype message to the Chicago Secret Service office stating that an attempt to assassinate the president would be made on November 2nd by a four-man team using high-powered rifles, and that at least one member of the team had a Spanish-sounding name. Bolden claimed that while he did not personally participate in surveillance of the subjects, he learned about it by monitoring Secret Service radio channels in his automobile and by observing one of the subjects being detained in his Chicago office. The committee was unable to document the existence of the alleged assassination team. Specifically, no agent who had been assigned to Chicago confirmed any aspect of Bolden's version. One agent did state that there had been a threat in Chicago during that period, but he was unable to recall the details. That quote from the HSCA underlines the core issue with the Abraham Bolden story, which is that there are no other Chicago agents who can corroborate it, nor are there any written reports. And Bolden wasn't personally working on the case, he just overheard information about it. So you can see why some people look at the Bolden claims and they have their doubts. Still, it's pretty clear at this point that Abraham Bolden was framed by Spagnoli for the crime of selling a government document. So the question is, if the evidence shows that Abraham Bolden really was framed, for what reason would he be framed if not for the reasons that he says? My challenge with Abraham Bolden is that he does seem to be credible, but there is almost no independent evidence to support the specifics of his story. I did say almost. We do have Commission Document 460, which is a February 5th, 1964 internal FBI report from Agent Dennis Shanahan about what an informant told him about what sounds like the same plot that Abraham Bolden described. The report says, quote, Larry Fanning, executive editor of Chicago Daily News, had previously advised that on November 2, 1963, four men were reportedly arrested in Chicago, Illinois, and charged with carrying a concealed weapon. One of these individuals, according to Fanning's source, was believed to be the subject, Oswald. The report goes on to say that the FBI had maintained a relationship with Fanning with a goal of trying to identify his source for this story about four men being arrested in Chicago on November 2nd. Later in the report, it says, quote, on January 22nd, Fanning advised agent Marlon Johnson that he looked into the matter thoroughly and there was no truth whatsoever in the story. He stated that he could not tell Agent Johnson exactly how the story originated. So the editor of a major Chicago newspaper was telling the FBI about a four-person Chicago plot on November 2nd, but the editor then follows up and says that there was no truth to what he said. And they throw Oswald in the mix just for good measure. Even though this report expressly refutes what Bolden said about the four-person plot, it does say that the editor of the Chicago Daily News came across this information and previously related. So someone must have told him this, but Fanning was not willing to say who told him about it or why he no longer believes it to be true. The reason all of this matters is that if Abraham Bolden is telling the truth, it points to a similar blueprint of the assassination in Dallas. A crossfire of rifles in a downtown area out of an office building with a ready-made patsy who was an ex-Marine. If you believe Thomas Arthur Valley, he even trained anti-Castro Cubans to kill Castro. While I do find Abraham Bolden to be credible, there's not enough evidence for me to conclusively determine that he's telling the truth. I find the story of Abraham Bolden to be inconclusive. I don't see why he would make it up, and it seems clear that he really was framed. Still, in my view, there's not enough other evidence to conclude with certainty that the Chicago plot really happened. On the other hand, I don't think we can rule it out either. Next time on Solving JFK, we'll be joined by Secret Service expert Vince Palomara for a recap and rebuttals episode. And after that, we move on to J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI. If you heard anything that you believe is out of context, or if you have additional information to offer, you can let us know at solvingjfkpodcast@gmail.com. Please provide citations to the record for any fact that you're relying on. For transcripts, sources, and official podcast merchandise, visit solvingjfkpodcast.com.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas.
The flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Thanks for listening. Visit solvingjfkpodcast.com for more information.
I'm getting out of here.